It's Helping Hand, weekly feature on HBR1 stations every Friday afternoon, and then online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where we have a growing online database of all of our archived Helping Hand segments. Each Friday, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and to others among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. Thank you very much for joining us. This week, we are learning about a very special returning guest organization you may have heard previously on Helping Hand, Access Surf. According to their website, accesssurf.org, they empower people with disabilities by providing adaptive surfing instruction and therapeutic educational programs on water recreation. They do monthly beach gatherings for the general disabled population and their loved ones. Plus, they do this for wounded warriors and their loved ones. We are honored to have one of the heroes from the organization in the studio. We're going to learn a lot more about how they really enrich the lives of the disabled in the Honolulu area. It's a revolutionary program and something that is now being copied in other places around the country and the world. And it's Access Surf Program Coordinator Kara Short, our very special guest today. Welcome back, Kara.
Thanks, Dave. I'm really happy to be here.
And I'm happy to have you here, too. Very special organization. Many people have busy lives, though they may not know all the stories about it. So if you can, try to paint a picture of what it is that you do with Access Surf.
Well, like you said, we do monthly programs, and they're all centered around the beach and having access to the beach and the ocean. So, for example, the first Saturday of every month, we have a program called Day at the Beach. And it's just that, Dave. It is a day for everyone with a disability, and that means cognitive or physical, and their families to come and enjoy the beach. So we have a team of volunteers there who are there set up with special equipment and access mats and special chairs so that people can get down onto the sand and into the water. But I think the highlight of it is really the community that it brings together. And all of those volunteers are there to help each individual in whatever way that they need, make them comfortable and enjoy the day.
And this is an opportunity for folks to do a lot more than surfing. We're going to learn about in a moment, but just to get the particulars, the Day at the Beach is held at what location in the area?
It's almost always at White Plains Beach Park, but once a year we do a special event with City and County where we're at Kualoa Regional Park. So I always recommend to people to check our website, just in case there are any changes as well. But yes, it's the first Saturday at White Plains Beach Park.
And then the one for wounded warriors.
It alternates, actually. This year, we're trying a couple of different things. So 1 month will be the third Wednesday at White Plains Beach Park. And then another month, we'll actually do it on a Saturday, which is the third Saturday. And we're working with Koa Beach Services in Waikiki. So again, I really recommend that people check our website so they can see where we are that month.
So the Wounded Warriors is going to be potentially at some points in Waikiki.
It will. And that particular day, actually, it's we've gotten some great feedback about it, is it's more of kayaking, stand-up paddleboard. It's calm water. It's on the inside. Mm-hmm. So we get some very good feedback about being able to do both, surfing and learning to do stand-up and prone paddling as well.
I get it because of the water conditions.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And for those who are disabled, folks who depend on a wheelchair to get around or have another disability of a variety of kinds, and their loved ones or friends who might be curious about, as they listen to you and think, well, I don't know enough about it yet, but it sounds like something that could really benefit me or benefit my loved one. And it sounds like a therapeutic and nurturing sort of environment for someone to feel safe in getting back into the ocean. This Day at the Beach, can you explain how it sort of progresses, if you can describe it from when it starts through when it ends? What occurs?
Sure, that's a great question, actually. From the background or behind the scenes, we show up with the volunteers around 7 in the morning and start the setup. I kind of describe it as the Access Surf City. It's grown so much over the years now, of course. So it takes us a couple of hours to get set up, and then we do some volunteer orientation where we give some volunteers some skills and knowledge on what we do and how to work with people with disabilities. And then for a participant, when they arrive, we recommend they come as early as they can, starting around 9. They can sign up for a surf time, or they can go swimming, or they can just be there. I think you've also mentioned that some people come just to be. So, for example, if you wanted to surf, we would surf with you on the board with a trained volunteer. And each person, we take our time to talk with them, find out about their comfort level, what they want to do, what they don't want to do, and kind of gauge their goals for that day, to really custom the experience for them personally. And so then, you know, so on and so forth. So then we'll set up and off we go. With the swim area, it's a little more freeform. You can certainly go at any time throughout the day. But again, we're set up with many volunteers who are hands-on the entire time or to whatever level that that particular person would like to have assistance. And then for the rest of the day, it's really just being there and talking story. And we have a barbecue and everyone's just enjoying being there, you know. And what I really find is powerful is everyone meeting each other, the volunteers meeting the participants, and the participants meeting each other. And everyone has that same story of the apprehension of that very first day that they came and not knowing what to expect and being very nervous, and then changing almost immediately by seeing the smiles, feeling the love and the aloha. And the words I hear repeatedly is freedom, that the people that come, they get to feel freedom. And even if they don't even get in the water, but just freedom to be, you know, at the beach.
And you made a couple of points. I should have, from the very beginning, mentioned that putting this out there is also invaluable for people who want to volunteer. So as folks are listening, this is also a great opportunity for volunteers to come and support the program equally, which, as Kara has said, can be as rewarding or more rewarding as it is for the participants. So there's that segment of the audience I was sort of not... I want to make sure people feel included. Anyone could come and be a volunteer, and there are a lot of volunteer opportunities. But when we talk about folks arriving and getting there, person who is confined to a wheelchair, perhaps it's a large electronic wheelchair, they understandably could have just getting into a vehicle can be very difficult to even come to the thing. And then when they arrive, they're in their vehicle. They could have come with the handy van. Maybe they came with a loved one or somebody, a care provider who has accompanied them. Do you guys offer transferring them out of the vehicle to get them down to the beach?
If they needed it, we certainly could assist with that. Generally, someone does come with somebody that helps them get out of the vehicle. But what we'll often do is if we have enough volunteers, which lately we have, which is wonderful. Thank you to all the volunteers. We will often have people in the parking lot, just sort of gauging and monitoring, seeing if anyone does need assistance. But generally, people do come with a loved one, but if you don't, absolutely, we'll help you.
And on that note, so if someone has a pretty complicated wheelchair that costs a lot of money and is electronics, that would not be the kind. So I guess I'm painting a picture for those folks. They're not going to be able to use their traditional chair to get down on the beach.
Not down onto the beach. So what happens is at White Plains, there's a large parking lot, which is good to know, because I know that's a big thing, certainly in Hawaii, where to park. So the parking is not an issue. There's a lot of parking. Finding a spot that's accessible may be a challenge. You may need to get out and then park, have the loved one park the vehicle. But it's a large grass area that most chairs seem to be able to get across quite easily. But if it's a heavy, expensive electric chair, if they have an alternative, they might want to make sure because it might get sand even coming across the grass. But then once they get across the grass, they'll come to our check-in area. And from there, we have accessible mats, specialized mats that we put down on the beach. So they are welcome to go down onto the beach with their chair. But again, if they're not comfortable with that, we have what we call a beach chair, that we will put the person into the beach chair and take them down onto the sand and into the water. So a lot of people will do that exact same thing. They'll keep their chair up on the sand, or sorry, up on the grass. But we have the beach mats and then what we call port-a-floor under the tent, so they can be down on the beach and, you know, be with everyone on the sand as well.
And I'm just exploring it with you, so forgive me for all these particulars.
Oh, I love it.
It just comes from having a loved one who used one of these devices. So if their device is, so you'd be riding on grass. There's no way to ride on like a firmer, secure substance. So is it possible that if a person says, I really would love to do this, but my wheelchair is a red man, very complicated wheelchair that can't even go off of a flat pavement or a flat surface, would you guys accommodate them by bringing a special chair to their vehicle so they would get into a chair that will be able to get up onto the grass?
Absolutely. And what I would recommend in that situation is, if possible, to contact us before the event, if possible. If not, that's fine. But then that way we can actually plan and have somebody in the parking lot to meet at the time of arrival, instead of them trying to flag somebody down and so forth. So we have several beach chairs, and what we would do is we could make sure we had one specially like held aside that could be for that participant for the day.
Fantastic. That's exactly what I was asking, and I would fully expect that anybody who had those special requirements or was coming would communicate with you. That's one of the things I put out there. You want to communicate with them, but I'm trying to paint a picture that if someone has an extraordinarily expensive, complicated wheelchair, you do not have to feel like you're bound to it and you're not going to be able to participate. And I'm trying to open the door for them so they realize that you can contact Access Surf in advance. Absolutely. They will work with you. They're used to this. They will then meet you in the parking lot. You guys can arrange that in advance, and they'll be there to be able to get you out of your vehicle and into this beach chair device that they have, which will be able to get you from the parking lot to the participation area.
Absolutely. And probably what we would do in that particular situation, especially if somebody didn't have a support network of their own, we would assign them, some volunteers to be with them for the entire day. So I really appreciate you asking those questions, because it's very, very important that everyone does understand that. The whole idea that this is open for everyone, and we really stand by that, by our mission. So we will do everything we can to make sure you have access and that you're comfortable with whatever those needs are.
Yeah, and that, thank you, because that's, and I know this is a lot of nuance, but there are many people whose life experience has resulted in they are needing to use these kind of chairs, and it's particularly those folks who may feel this apprehension, that they're not doubting that you could pull it off, but when you have, I pray to God I never have to know firsthand what it's like, but I can imagine that if you're in that situation, you would very understandably be leery of damaging or screwing up your chair, and just the fragility that that life has bestowed upon you for this journey. And on that note of fragility, when we hear about volunteers, there's no question that there's a lot of ways to volunteer and help this organization, Access Surf, out. But to speak to the level of professionalism and experience of the particular volunteers that you would use for handling and getting a person with one of these disabilities transferred both into the special beach chair, but then also onto the water potentially. Can you talk about the kinds of folks that you have at your disposal, the backgrounds that some of these folks have that might be a reassuring, might reassure someone to think, wow, it's not just like people who really want to help, but it's also they've got trained professionals who will understand the dynamics of how I need to be transferred or handled.
Absolutely. Again, another fabulous question. So basically with our volunteer base, on a first note for anyone out there that is listening that's interested in volunteering and you don't have a background working with people with disabilities, please do still come. There's a wide range of things that where we need help, but we also have training. So that's just something to put on a little side note.
Very important thing too, right? Because I don't want to discourage folks who don't have
course,
that.
Yeah.
And because you'll train them, but continue.
Yeah. And for those that are wanting to participate, what happens is we have a team in place. Multi-level basically is how it works. We have some key leaders who have put together training programs and so forth over the years. So we are in our 10th year now. Wow. And we have a team of nurses and doctors and therapists who have been training and working with us all of these years. So the training that's in place has come from them. And then they're also on site to oversee each area. So in each area, there will be volunteers who may not have years of experience, but it's being each area is overseen by a key leader. Now, if somebody is going to working specifically, the great example is surfing. So let's say you're on a surfboard and, it's a tandem situation where the participant and then we have our surf instructor on the board. You want to know that person has experience doing this. And what happens for us is if we have somebody come and they're new, but let's say they're a very skilled waterman, but they don't necessarily know how to tandem surf a person with a physical disability, we basically have like a little training graduation program. So you start, you come, and we have a different one area that will have you start, for example, with water safety. And you'll come a certain number of months and do that. And then you'll come over to the swimming area, and we'll work with maybe someone who's able-bodied but has a cognitive disability. And it's all a matter of experience and working with that individual volunteer. Even though we have a huge volunteer base, we know our volunteers on a very personal, individual level as well. And we monitor and have our key leaders who are always watching throughout the entire day to give us, as the leaders of the day, feedback on who really stands out and who we really want to work with and bring up through the ranks, let's say. So it's more of a graduated system, I would say. And then, of course, like I said, all of it over being overseen by therapists and nurses and doctors and actually a lot of lifeguards. We have a lot of lifeguards that come out and help us as well.
And they have a lot of skills built into just doing that are useful. How big of a volunteer team do you have?
It's pretty extensive. It's pretty impressive. The last several months, we see 150 people per event as volunteers. But we're catering to 70 to 90 participants every month. So we need that volunteer base.
Right.
It's a force, that's for sure. But again, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about, you know, seeing all of these people come together to experience such a great moment together.
In the world we have going on.
Exactly.
It's nothing short of giving someone goosebumps or... you know, if you think that the world has a lot of problems, and it sure does, there are, it's kind of like, I've been like, once I discovered how bad rhinos have it and this insane poaching that goes on, you start to really lose faith in the world. But then when you see the people who come together to rescue these animals, to take care of them, to fight for them, to pick up weapons and go into the bush to defend them, it's kind of like what you're talking about. It's like, this event, to hear there's that many people that come together on a monthly basis as volunteers, not to get paid, but just to help someone who has a disability that they're challenged with in this life get back in the water, that is...
And then, you know, the other thing about Access Surf Day that I think is really important for people to understand is that it's almost volunteer entirely run. So behind the scenes, I'm working with multiple committees of volunteers who are analyzing every program aspect from a safety perspective to an equipment to what have you. So not only at the events, and there's multiple a month, as you mentioned, because we also do specialized clinics as well. We do swim and surf clinics that are smaller. So I think we do something like 36 programs a year, all on the ground volunteers, but then behind the scenes, hours and hours and hours. And I just words can't even describe the beauty in the world that there are so many people that are willing to do this.
That's a good way of describing it. And it's, it helps reassure you that the world is not completely gone to hell.
Yeah, exactly.
There are...
Come to Day at the Beach, you'll definitely know that feeling.
Yeah, and that's why it's great to talk about it. Yeah. Just talking about it, you know, helps you feel a little better.
Yeah,
About life, quite frankly. So I kind of enjoy getting to talk about it. It's very humbling. So the any costs, as we talk about all this volunteering, which is great to really put that out there, because I think as... In talking to you this time, and I've been privileged to have Kara come down to the radio station a few times to talk about the program, but I realize this time there are so many people listening who may get inspired to just help do it. It's one thing to get people who are disabled to feel comfortable and come out, which is really half of the mission here, but to realize that there are a lot of people who would like to be a volunteer and help you out. For the people who would want to come and be a participant, there are no costs, correct?
Absolutely not, no. Exactly. Our programs are all free.
So it's totally free. So if you're wondering if there was a cost or something, or if your insurance would qualify, don't worry about that. So the entire, in terms of participation, there are no costs whatsoever. The whole thing was founded, and I got to give because this program, this is a non-governmental thing. It's a real, you know, around the world, disabled people are in some cases don't have the rights or treatment that they have in America to begin with. But this kind of organization is also, while there are similar ones in different places, and they all should be applauded, and all of the people who volunteer for them as well, this is a really unique program, Access Surf. It's not like some national chain. And it was a guy named Mark Marble who thought of it. It came out of his head. You know, the guy, it's like the person who invented the record or the wheel or whatever. I mean, it's really, guy, he thought of this thing because of what it does. Just talking about it compared to the bad things you got to hear. Like I said, there's a therapeutic value just in talking about this. Talk about Mark, how he came up with the idea, and give a little plug to the way that this has not only inspired people like Kor Kauai on Kauai who do another remarkable program, but has helped when it comes to the Paralympic aspect.
Absolutely. Mark is a phenomenal person. Thank you so much for bringing him up as well. He is a therapist. He's a recreational therapist. And when he was working with his multiple patients, he was talking with people like as they were transitioning, you know, post-injury, and talking to them about getting to the beach and going into the water because of all of its healing aspects and so forth, so on and so forth. And he kept hearing from everybody that they don't have any way to get to the beach, that they didn't want to ask their friends and family because they already rely on them so much, and, you know, on and on and on. And he was shocked, really. And so then, you know, being the kind of person that he is, which is he's a go-getter, he started working with Rich Julian, who's an adaptive athlete himself, and some therapists at the Rehab of the Pacific. And they got together and they started brainstorming, like, how do we create this program? And it was, I would love to hear them talk about it. When they started, with six of them, you know, six participants showing up at the beach, and they're just doing it. And now here we are 10 years later, and we're serving well over 100 people every month. It is, just blows my mind what they've created. So it was through a lot of intense dedication and intense passion on our founders. And so definitely without Mark doing what he's done to lay this foundation, we just are picking up where he began. And he's still heavily involved. He's currently off island, but I refer to him and reference him all the time. And just, you know, he called yesterday, for example. So he's heavily, very, very, very involved with Access Surf still.
And the way that, explain how this idea of his has connected you guys to the Paralympics thing.
Well, we're not, a couple of things. We are actually a Paralympic sports club. We're the only one in Hawaii. And with that, we're working with surfing's not a Paralympic sport yet, but it will be soon. But we do swimming programs, and we're also developing a canoe program. But we have some athletes that have been training for the Paralympics in kayak and canoe, and they started essentially by getting back into the water with Access Surf. So that's a pretty incredible thing. Anya Yoshida is a great example. She's the current world champion for para canoe sprints, and she was one of the first participants with Access Surf. So in that aspect, we're ready. We're ready for when surfing becomes a Paralympic sport. But we have been heavily involved with the International Surfing Association event, and they did their world championships, their first adaptive world championships, last September. Access Surf was basically, a lot of it was based on what we've been doing here with Access Surf. And then when we went to that event as representatives of Hawaii, and we had, this is unbelievable, Dave, we had 10 adaptive surfers from Hawaii representing, and almost, I think we had something like 15 volunteers fly from Hawaii and drive across the country, volunteers from Access Surf that have moved on to the mainland to come to volunteer. They spent their own time and money to volunteer at that event at ISA in San Diego. And what happened was we met people from all over the world who have been following us, who we didn't even know about, and using our programs and our competitions that we've been doing as an example to start programs of their own. So now internationally, we have this whole community of people that we communicate with on a regular basis to help new programs develop.
And it all came from one guy,
yeah.
Mark Marble. And that shows, again, the positivity that does exist in the world, that you can make a difference, and look at the difference he made. We've, through talking with Kara, there's been a lot of discussion of surfing, there are many people who are disabled, and even volunteers who probably would be interested in learning, that that's just a portion. So if you are disabled and I'm not that into surfing, but man, the therapy, the nurturing environment that the world, that the water offers, I would like to get back in. You do a lot more than surfing, right? Can you illustrate how people can do other things? You mentioned it, but the other kinds of things that a person could do with you, and some of the specialized equipment that you use to help get them into the water.
Yeah. So at Day of the Beach, for example, so surfing is one section of what we do. And then the other area is swimming and floating. So it's an area that we have just designated specifically to be in the water, in the ocean. So we have a few different programs where we're also at the pool, but we do both. We like to have programs with the ocean and the pool, because the water itself is therapeutic on all levels, but being at the beach and in that atmosphere is just something extra special, and with the salt water. So we have an area at Day at the Beach that's just being in the water. And if you want to learn some skills and techniques for swimming, and maybe it's just you want to put your face on in the water, mm-hmm. we can start from there. Or if you are a swimmer or have some skills and techniques but you'd like to improve on, we have some trained coaches that have been working with a wonderful coach up from the mainland. He trains us quite regularly. So we have that level as well. Or if you just want to be just floating in the water and feeling that freedom, we're there for you. And then, of course, like I said, we have some adaptive swim clinics, and they're small. So we only run them right now quarterly. We're certainly hoping to grow that program. And that is often at a pool. And we find we get a great response from that, because some people maybe aren't quite wanting to or ready for the ocean yet. They just want to
be in the water.
Exactly. So the pool really offers that atmosphere for us. So there's that option. And then also, well, a little side note, there's adaptive surf clinics, which is the next, another part. And then, as I said, we're just now starting to work more on trying to do some canoe paddling as well.
Which is valuable. So, excuse me. And you have those chairs, right,
yeah.
that people can sit in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that's not the same chair that you bring them onto the beach with, or is that?
It is.
It is.
Yeah,
and
it
that
is.
Chair can then, so literally, if you weren't into the surfing, but you are really excited to get out of a large, mechanical, expensive, complicated wheelchair and get into one of these very comfortable, easy to sit in, with back support and mm-hmm. everything, chairs, you'd be able to be in that on the beach, hang out with the camaraderie on the beach. And if you wanted to go in the water, they will help you in that same chair.
Yep.
Go down and you'll be able to just float and relax.
Well, at the Day at the Beach, when we're at White Plains, there is a little bit of a shore break. So actually, sometimes we have had people in the chairs in the water, but really the best place for that is when we're at the Waikiki location, because
okay.
it's calmer and it's more gradual getting into the water. But we're very adaptable. We're very, you know, if that's sort of in our mode. So, you know, every person will take our time with them and find out exactly what they want their experience to be.
So if the waves aren't super rough at White Plains and the person is like, with a few of you around me, I'm going to feel safe.
Yes,
is there any
yes.
way?
And that's what happens. That's what exactly all happens. So we'll have certain participants where they may want and need 4 or 5 volunteers holding them. And of course, that's what we're there for.
And you'll be in your chair with these volunteers?
Depending. I mean, with that beach chair, it really would depend on the conditions.
Of the waves.
That chair floats a little bit. But we have done it. We certainly have. And we just do whatever we can to make it work for people.
Okay. Well, I like that. I guess it's the Kauai people have a lighter. They're on Hanalei Bay, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's no.
Yeah.
So they can have their chair mm-hmm. just float.
And that's where, why we love our Waikiki location when we do those events, because
the reef shelters
mm-hmm,
it.
Exactly.
I get what you mean.
Yeah.
So that makes it so it's even easier to do a chair oriented
yeah.
day
yeah.
in the water. There are, when it comes to helping you guys, in addition to a person who wanted to volunteer to be handling folks and helping folks get into the water and be part of that incredible, positive, liberating thing that you're doing for someone who has been, who has ended up in this life to have a disability that prevents them from getting in the water. There is also the onshore get together that occurs. You mentioned a barbecue. For people who want to help you and help make these things happen and help make things even better for those with special needs, could you use people who want to volunteer to provide food? Could you use people who want to help buy supplies for you? What are some of the tangible ways people can obviously donate to the organization, and then you guys use those funds to buy those things and possibly even have discounts from your vendors? What are some of the ways, if we can paint a broad number of things, that people listening who are inspired, who realize through this conversation that they are so blessed to walk and that they can walk and they want to do something to help you?
Well, actually, all of those ways. The thing is, although our programs are at the beach and we are mostly volunteer run, there's a big price tag. And that's our biggest hurdle, I would say, is funding. So in any way that anybody would like to contribute, whether it be an in-kind, like helping us for example, we feed everybody at every day at the beach, and we are always needing sponsors to help with that cost. And our programs have grown more and more. And so, you know, along with that goes more and more expensive equipment. Of course, you know, if somebody wants to donate specifically to purchase some equipment, we're always having to update our equipment, whether it be rash guards or the specialized mats or what have you.
Or the boards.
Or the boards, exactly. And then just straight up donations, you know, our operations and program costs kind of move around every month with depending on which event we're doing. So we definitely need that support. We need the volunteers, and we also need the sponsorships from the individual donors.
So people and businesses could sponsor beach days too.
Absolutely. And we really encourage that. And I love when we have a local business that wants to support us, then they can also come with their staff and have their shirts and what have you, and let everyone in the community know that their business is supporting us.
So those are tangible ways that people can help out. In terms of volunteering, in terms of helping to, and people could, the cost of one of these special boards is a couple grand or something, right?
It is, yes.
So a business out there could also, a business that has everybody on their staff is able-bodied. You look around your office and everybody can walk and can do all these physical things with no assistance whatsoever. And you're listening to this feature about people volunteering to help folks who cannot walk. In many cases, a business could reach into their heart and purchase one of these boards, give you the money and say, we want to earmark money for one of these tandem boards, or we want to earmark money to sponsor your barbecue for the rest of the year or something like that. So a business can earmark cash for a specific thing, and you'd like that.
Exactly. And we are really proud to promote our supporters and sponsors in every way that we can, at events, on site, social media, website, emails. I think it's really important. We really believe in the collaboration with the local community as much as possible, and for us to support those who support us as well. And we've noticed that our volunteers and participants, when they hear of a business supporting us, they really want to support them.
Sure.
So it's a beneficial for everybody.
Who wouldn't want to support someone?
I agree.
Just trying to help disabled folks enjoy this thing. And the rest of your funds come from where, besides people donating, where do you get the financial support to keep this organization going?
Well, largely our funding base is through personal donations, but then we certainly do have a few businesses that have supported us in the past. Like recently this year, where they were a recipient from Surfco, they gave us a generous donation, which was wonderful. And then we do write some grants as well. So currently we don't have any government assistance and so forth, but we hope to one day, you know, tap into that venue as well.
It's such an innovative program that Mark came up with to do this thing. And it has inspired, as we gave credit to, Core Kauai, which is another one, probably the only other one in the state that I know of. Is there another one besides Core Kauai?
That does regular programming like this, not that I know of. I think it's just Core and Access Surf.
And they do the very similar thing that you guys do in Hanalei Bay. And it's remarkable because they came and basically schooled themselves in what you were doing.
Which is fabulous. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's about getting people in the water.
Right.
That's exactly what it's about.
And that's just cool that the thing has provided such an inspiration for folks. You can learn more about Access Surf at their website, accesssurf.org. You can give them a call at 236-4200. Is there an email that's associated with you guys that's good? Or at the website, is there a form? How does it work for email contact?
Yep. If you go to the website and there's a contact us, you can just email us through that. Or it's info@accesssurf.org.
Write that here. So the email would be info@accesssurf.org, or there's a contact form at the website.
Yeah, there is.
You guys on Facebook?
Oh, we certainly are. Facebook and Instagram. And thank you to the volunteers who helped me with that. And Twitter.
Any other kinds of, and all of their contact information, as well as the full length interview, the radio feature, and all of our other Helping Hand guests are all archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. So you can get all of their contact info, hear this interview, hear the full version of it, everything at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for the Helping Hand section there under the news links. Other aspects of the program, forgive me if I did not highlight them myself, but things that are important about the mission or ways that the able-bodied community that's listening that wants to volunteer could help, or things, elements of the program that disabled folks or their loved ones should hear about that I forgot to mention?
I think what's really important, and you actually did mention it, and I'm really grateful and thankful that you did, is just letting the people know of any, if you have a disability or know someone who has a disability and you've heard about our program, I just really come out and see. Just come out and watch. You don't have to get in right away. Even involved with the people necessarily. Just come and experience it and meet some of the people and see what we're all about. I really think that that's what I hear most from people. They've heard about us. One participant, she knew about us for 5 years before she would come. And then now she's one of our, you know, I call her one of our greatest mentors. I mean, she's the welcome committee. So I just highly encourage people to come out and experience it. And definitely for any potential volunteer and a potential sponsor, I always say come and experience where your support is. What your support is doing, it's truly life-changing.
And just seeing it is an inspiration to support it. Once you see it in action, it's breathtaking. It's nothing short of that. Are there specific things that you need? Because I had seen this a long time ago. My mom was still alive. It was 2007. I used to date someone, and she went to White Plains a lot. So I'd be over there, and sometimes I'd just be sitting there on the beach, and I didn't know what it was. But I'd see it and be able to figure out, yeah. Obviously. And it was, you know, I would always think, man, you know, my mom would, what would she think about this, you know? And, you know, so it's remarkable. That's why I give Mark so much credit. It wasn't like it's not like some giant franchise. I mean, and not that those things are, you know, something, everything starts, it's a seed. Yeah. It starts somewhere. But this one started right here.
Yeah, right here.
Right here on this island, right here in this state. And as you can see, it sent ripples, positive ripples, to other locations in the state that have heroically started parallel programs and influenced Surfing Association, you mentioned, having people go real far with it. Are there any other supplies that you need, Kara? Because you're running it. Is there a specific tangible item that's missing in your, we need a new vehicle. We need a new, is there anything in any one real big challenge that you're facing right now, too, that I can add to your one list?
Yeah, actually, well, there's two things. Well, there's actually a long list, but the two that really stand out is when you mentioned a vehicle, what we do is we have an old bread truck that we store all of our equipment in and drive it to and from the beach, and it breaks down all the time. So we tow it quite often. So we are looking to replace that. We need some way to get our equipment to and from the events. So that is one way. And the other is we've grown so much with our volunteers that are helping on these committees on a regular basis. We run right now out of my house, but I don't really have the space so much anymore, so we are currently looking for a location.
So anyone who wants to help sponsor by getting them a small location to operate out of or a vehicle to transport equipment, which could be sponsored by someone.
Exactly.
Could be, you know, Joe's Deli or whatever, mm-hmm. And you probably give them naming rights on the vehicle.
They could wrap the vehicle with their logo.
Right, and I mean, that's like a huge, so I'm just trying to put seeds because there's so many affluent people who are listening right now, and it's amazing what people like that who have so much resources, what they can do mm-hmm. with those resources if they want, you know, it's amazing. Money can do a lot. It's a myth to think money can't do a lot, because if you have a lot of money and you're looking for a way to help somebody who's in need, this is a way to use it.
Well, and the straight up bottom line is our current situation is funding is holding us back from increasing programming and increasing the population or the people that we can serve. So that's exactly it. The more sustainability we have with our funding, all the more we can do.
It's a great way to get visibility for your organization and a great way to inspire your employees and your coworkers to be grateful for the incredible gift that having legs at work and being able to walk is. And it's a way to make a great statement on behalf of your fellow earthlings who can't, that you would utilize some of your resources and get that kickback of free promotion on the vehicle or whatever, but by helping enable these things with a vehicle. How big is an office space do you need in square footage? What would that be, and where would you want that located?
Wow, those are great questions. We don't need much space. There's three of us that are in the quote-unquote office, and then we have meetings with our volunteers, so I'm not even sure. What
500
that would
like. Square feet?
500 would be fabulous.
And then what was the other thing I just asked?
Location. I mean, preferably if it could be in Honolulu, it would be most convenient because that is where most of our volunteer base is that's working behind the scenes. That would be ideal.
Okay. It is Access Surf Program Coordinator Kara Short and Access Surf. AccessSurf.org is where this innovative organization can be found. I just don't have enough words to describe it. Thank you for what you do.
And Dave, I wanted to mention to you, you know, the support that you're giving to Access Surf by, one, airing this program and talking about what we do, but also really highlighting the fact that we do need support and funding. It's really made a difference. After the last time I was on this show, we were contacted by a foundation, and they gave us a grant of $2,500 that really did help our organization. So I thank you for really bringing that to everyone's attention.
And they contacted you because they heard about Access Surf on Helping Hand?
On Helping Hand, specifically.
That's great to hear.
Thank you, Dave, for running this program and all of the different people that you highlight in organizations that you highlight every program that you air. It's very important for the whole community. So I thank you.